Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
If you'd like to follow along this morning in the sermon notes, you can download the app on the screen behind me, just the QR code, and that'll take you there if you don't yet have the app, or if you want to turn in your Bibles, we'll be doing that too. But before we get to today's text, which is going to be in the book of Numbers, do you have any trouble making decisions? Sometimes some people are very clear, they know what they want, they can make the decisions. Other times it's helpful to have other people, it's helpful to have limited decisions. For example, this past week I was in Arizona for a couple days, and there's a place called In-N-Out Burger. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Now, In-N-Out Burger, you can make modifications to your burger. You can have raw onions or grilled onions. You can have single cheese. Why in the world would you have a single cheese? You can have a double cheese. But In-N-Out Burger, do you know what you can order? A burger. And fries, and there's, you know, you can have fries done different ways, and even their shakes, though, are pretty simple, chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry. It helps people who don't have 50 different options of how to buy a coffee. In-N-Out is just really simple. You're going for a burger. Audrey, in fact, always gives me a choice for supper. Well, it's not so much what would you like, it's more take it or leave it. But it's still a choice, and so I am empowered. I am empowered. Sometimes when you go to a restaurant, you get an encyclopedia. Have you seen that? I mean, just so many pages, and you can get stalled out on, what are we going to have? There's so many things, so many choices. You think that getting a few donuts would be easy. You go to Tim Hortons, and I'll have a dozen donuts. Well, what kind? If you're in line ahead of me, will you please decide already? It's just that it just takes time. Well, what about things that are really important? Not 12 donuts, but 12 disciples. How do you pick 12 disciples out of the multitudes of people? It's not really what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about 12 spies. How do you pick 12 spies? And we're going to talk about two of them. Moses, when they came to the edge of the promised land after they had been released, God delivered them from Egypt. And there was this exodus. They're coming to the promised land. God had promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. As they come to the promised land, he sends in a reconnaissance team. It'll be made up of 12 people, 12 men. There were 12 tribes of Israel, and you get to choose one man from each tribe representing the tribe. They're going to go in the promised land. The beginning of the book of Numbers, it tells us how many men that he could choose from. Beginning of the book of Numbers, in Numbers chapter 1, we're not going to read the text, although it'll be in your notes, tells us that there were 603,550. So almost 604,000 men who were 20 years old or older and able to go to war. So out of that almost 604,000 soldiers, fighting men, you're going to pick 12. I want to talk about two tribes. One tribe was the tribe of Ephraim, and the other tribe was the tribe of Judah. Now, the tribe of Ephraim had 40,500 men who were 20 years old or older and able to go to war. And the other tribe, the tribe of Judah, had 74,600 men, 20 or older, able to go to war. So if we just take these two tribes, it's about the size of Red Deer. 115,000 or so, 150,100. It's all recorded in the book of Numbers. You're gonna choose from them spies who will go on this recon mission. How do you pick 12 out of 600,000? How do you pick two out of 115,000? Well, these two tribes, Ephraim and Judah, I think Ephraim was probably the easiest choice because of who Moses picked. His name was Hosea. Although Moses didn't call him that, he called him Joshua. Hosea, the name means salvation, but Joshua means salvation is of the Lord. God is salvation. And probably at some point in Joshua's life, if we were to follow his trajectory, we would discover how important it is for Joshua to know it's not about him saving people, but it's about God saving people. Joshua would be the one that would, years later, bring them into the promised land. It's probably pretty easy to pick him because Joshua was Moses' assistant. Joshua was his helper. Joshua was Moses' right-hand man. Moses was the servant of the Lord, but Joshua was Moses' servant, and so he picked him from the tribe of Ephraim. Joshua would be one of the 12 that goes in. The other tribe, it's the largest tribe, tribe of Judah. It's 74,000, almost 75,000 men, and he picks a man named Caleb. Caleb, one out of 12. Caleb, one who is very different than the other 12. Moses sends the spies into the land. We're just about to Numbers chapter 13. Moses sends the spies into the land. And as they go, they're going to be gone 40 days. As they return, he'll say, make sure not only do you find out what the land looks like, but bring some fruit, would you? Bring some fruit back. And so they come back, and they come back with the most amazing grapes that you've ever seen. And as much as they appreciated the manna, let's have some blueberry pie. Let's have whatever fruit that they brought back. And certainly they talked about the grapes that hanging. There's a huge cluster of grapes. Let's hear the report that they bring. So the 12 spies have gone in, been away 40 days. They come back. They come back with the fruit, and they come back with the report. Numbers chapter 13, beginning at verse 25, says this, and they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron, and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them, saying, we went into the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. This is a blessed place. This is a marvelous place. And this is its fruit. Verse 28 says, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. As we read, we'll discover that they're gigantic people. Verse 29 says, the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. They not only looked at the land, but they looked at the people who were there. So they give this report. Then Caleb quieted the people. Pay attention to Caleb here. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against these people, for they're stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people who we saw are men of great stature. There we saw giants, the descendants of Anak, came from giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Goes on to chapter 14, just that continues the narrative and says this. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried. And the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if we had died in the wilderness, death would have been better than this. You brought us out here. Why is the Lord, verse 3, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not have been better for us to return to Egypt? Now look at what they say. Now they say to one another, this is a congregation, let's select a leader and return to Egypt. We're out of here. Moses, we're done with you. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Watch verse 6. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, they saw it with their own eyes, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land that we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. do not fear them.
And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. The glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Moses is going to cry out to God. He's going to say, God, God is going to say, I'm going to wipe them out. God will say, please forgive them. Moses will stand in the gap. He'll intercede. That's what intercession means. It means you stand in the gap between God's wrath against the rebellious people. Moses prays, God, would you forgive them? Watch what happens. Numbers chapter 14, verse 20. God heard his prayer. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. There is power in prayer. I pardoned according to your word, but truly, as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, right? The 10 plagues that came, the miraculous exodus that took place, deliverance that took place, provision in the wilderness. They saw that. He said, they put me to the test. Now these 10 times have not heeded my voice. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. The last verse we read today, verse 24, says, my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Three things about Caleb. Number one, Caleb quieted the people. What's one of the first things that happens when you hear bad news? I don't know about you, but I think probably, like me, man, the voices come quickly. The noise come quickly. What if? What if this happens? What if this doesn't happen? Especially when you're not expecting it. We show up to the land flowing with milk and honey. The God who has performed such amazing, miraculous deliverance from Egypt, provision in the wilderness. Here we are at this land, and we discover that there's a fly in my soup. There's giants in the land, and this is not what we were expecting. We thought it was going to be a cakewalk. We thought we were just going to walk in. God has provided it all, not so aware that there's a responsibility that we have to walk. But so many voices. And the Bible doesn't say that the people started to freak out. Or Old King James, it doesn't say it started to freak it out. It doesn't record that. It just records they gave the report, and then Caleb quieted the people. So what we can see is that's what's taking place. They hear this report. There's giants in the land. There's people everywhere. He quieted them. See, the news caused quite a stir. He quieted them. That word quieted. It means hold your peace. It means hold your peace. When bad news comes, when things go off the rails, when things happen that we're not expecting, this wasn't the plan. It says Caleb quieted the people. Hold your peace. Hold your peace. It also makes me think, not only hold your peace, but hold on to your peace. In that moment, it's not just hold your peace, don't say anything. Man, my words can get me in trouble. Hold your peace and hold on to your peace. Jesus, who is our peace. When bad news comes, hold your peace, hold on to your peace, and continue with your assignment. Caleb says, let's go. Let's go, we can do this. Let's stay on mission, let's stay on task. And he combated their despair with hope. Yeah. There's giants. Let's go. It doesn't change anything. Secondly, Caleb confronted the people. Gave the good report with Joshua. Said the land is good. In fact, he says, it's exceedingly good. What God promised about the promised land, what he said, he was right. I realize there's more to it than we understood, but it is a good land. There is nothing wrong with the land. And he says this, if the Lord delights in us, it has to do with God's favor resting upon them, his pleasure, his blessing. In fact, that's what we prayed for Anastasia, God's favor, blessing, delight on her. He says, he'll bring us into the land. He will do it. See, Caleb understood two things about the delight of the Lord. Number one, God delights in them because they're his people.
just because you're his kids. My delight, favor rests upon you because you're my kids. There's people, special people, chosen people. And then secondly, the Lord delights in us as we obediently follow him. Our actions line up with who we are. There was a man, I remember, Ben, you answered this question right when I said, do you know how somebody, you can tell somebody's going to the gym? And Ben said, yeah, they tell you. So I was at the gym. And there was a guy there wearing a Christian shirt, you know, as a witness wear, across, I've decided to follow Jesus and stuff. And his language didn't match up with his shirt. And I wanted to say, in a very judgmental way, right? But it just bugged me. I thought, change your language or change your shirt. Well, one of the two. There's just an incongruency. I'm not passing sentence on the guy, my goodness. Well, I'm trying not to, backing up. But it has something to do with let our actions line up with us being children of God. God delights in us because we're kids, but also this delight. If he delights in us, let him delight in our actions with how we live as well. And then he says, don't rebel and don't fear because the Lord's with us. See, all the spies saw the same thing. They saw the same land, but they had a different perspective. They came away with a different perspective. There's a story about a man who is driving down an old country road and he sees a young man in the field. And he looks at the crop and he stops the car and he gets out and he goes up to the fence and he says to the young man, hey, all your corn is turning yellow. And the young man looks at him and says, yeah, we planted yellow corn. And then he says, yeah, but it looks like you're only going to get half a crop. And the young man says, but we only planted half a crop. And then the man, just frustrated, says, you know what? You're just really close to a fool. And he says, yes, sir, there's just a fence between us. But it's this matter of perspective. They saw the same thing, but there was a different perspective. The 12 spies, they saw the same thing, but they had a different perspective. Last thing about Caleb is Caleb didn't follow the people. Verse 24, we read this. It says this, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, his descendants shall inherit it. Caleb had a different spirit, for he fully followed the Lord. Later on in Numbers chapter 32, it'll say it differently. It'll say Caleb wholly followed the Lord. It's the same, it's the same word used in the Bible. And in fact, in the Hebrew, it's only one word. It's one word, it's not two. English translates fully followed or wholly followed. But the word in the Hebrew, it's not like that. It's only one word. It can't be separated into, well, he partially followed. Well, he sometimes followed. Well, he conveniently followed. It's this point of, it's just one word. You can't separate following the Lord into partially, mostly, sometimes. See, the fact that there were giants in the land changed nothing. He walked by faith, not by sight. And Caleb was someone who was a faithful follower who followed faithfully. He was a faithful follower who followed faithfully. She sells seashells. He was a faithful follower who followed faithfully. He said, let's go. God delights in us. Let's go. Following not just in word, but in action. And not just in word and action, but in heart. When it says he has a different spirit, that word, it's the same word that we find the Bible uses about the Holy Spirit. Breath, wind. It's the life. It came from a different place. It came from a deep place. It says that he followed because of the life that was within him. His spirit, he had a different spirit. Caleb followed the Lord. Let me conclude with this, and then I'm gonna pray. 40 years, Caleb and Joshua wandered in the wilderness. 40 years they wandered in the wilderness for something that was not their fault. Caleb would eventually enter the land 40 years later under the leadership of Joshua. Caleb was 40 years old when he first entered the land. Another 40 years, he's now 80 when he crosses the Jordan River into the Promised Land. It takes another 5 years before he receives the inheritance that God has for him. He's 85 years old. But at 85 years old, not only has Caleb entered the land, but his descendants have inherited the land. And sometimes we just need to see the long game. We need to see the big picture, that our obedience isn't just about us. Should the Lord tarry, it's our obedience is not just about us. Here's the response. Three things. Number one, quiet the voices. When bad news comes, when you face struggles, there's all kinds of voices. There is a wisdom of this world that will speak to you. There's ungodly counsel that will speak to you. There's our own thoughts that run amok. There's the enemy of our soul who wants to plant his voice in your head. Silence the voices and listen for the voice of God. Secondly, the what if and what if it doesn't? What if it does? So just silence that. Quiet the voices. And then, like Caleb, confront the doubt. Confront the unbelief and confront the rebellion. Take an active stance. That is not, I am not going to walk away from the Lord. I'm not going to walk away from the Lord's path. I am not going to get off the path that he has for me, my family, as for me and my house will serve the Lord. Just that, taking a stand. I'm not going to bail out. I'm not going to tap out. I'm not going to rebel. Hearken unto the voice of the Lord. God, you have my ear. And then make this decision. So quiet the voices, confront the doubt and the unbelief and the rebellion. And third, like Caleb, wholly follow the Lord. Wholly follow the Lord, not the crowd. Don't try to follow the Lord. Do or do not, there is no try. Is that just follow the Lord? And you may say with me, but Barry, that's hard. I can't do that. And I would say, you're right. I can't either. That's why we need the Lord. That's why we need His Spirit to touch us. We need to ask His Holy Spirit to just so fill us with courage and strength and determination, all the things. Listen to what Ezekiel says. It's a promise of God to us, and we're going to pray it. God speaking to His people, He says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. Just like Ellen talked about, we will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Watch this. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Then I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Now listen, last verse. Then you shall dwell in the land I gave to your fathers. You'll be my people and I will be your gods. My name upon you. And don't miss what God said about Caleb. In all of it, he said this, but my servant Caleb. It's not just a spy, not just someone who was overseeing a tribe involved in leadership. He said, my servant Caleb. May God fill us with his spirit. May we be his servants. Let's pray. Father, we want to be a people who live obediently by faith, not be shaped by the things that we see. We want to walk by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith. God, we don't want just this intermittent walking by faith. We want our lives to be marked by being people of faith. God, we pray you would help us to quiet every voice inside of us that doubts you or doubts your power or doubts your goodness towards us. We pray you would help us to go where you have called us to go, how you've called us to go, when you've called us to go, believing that you delight in us, for your favor rests upon us. No matter who goes with us, may we wholly follow you. God, we pray you'd open our eyes that we could see with eyes of faith and hope and courage. And in order to do all those things, we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Today I have the honor of doing the dedication prayer. And I'm so thankful that at the end of every service that we have an opportunity to welcome Jesus into our hearts. And today I want to read some scripture before we actually say this prayer. And it is this. It's in Ephesians. And it's Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 8. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. By grace we have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace, we have been saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. So if you've been wanting to welcome Jesus into your life, if you felt God calling you, Ellen shared a wonderful word today. We had a wonderful couple, Caleb and Jordan and Anastasia, and what a wonderful moment of dedicating Anastasia today and blessing her. And Barry shared a wonderful word, and Steve said how that spoke to him. So if God has touched your heart today, if you felt that God is calling you today, then we will have an opportunity to say a prayer. And if you have never dedicated yourself before, have accepted Christ, or want to rededicate yourself, or if you're unsure if you've accepted Christ, then today you will have an opportunity to be sure. The good news of the gospel requires a response. Because God is telling us how much he loves us and that he's made a way for us. And he also tells us that he wants to have relationship with us. And he has chosen you. For those of you that are in the sanctuary today, or those of you that are watching online, if you want to choose God today by accepting his son Jesus, again, we will say that prayer. You know, I'm so thankful that God has a heart for sinners. And I can tell you, and so can my wife, that when we accepted Christ, it transformed our lives. It was the turning point in my life, I know that. And God is offering this gift to everybody through his son. And a gift is simply received. So I ask you today to accept this gift, because John 3:16 tells us, this is God speaking to each one of us, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He also says in John 3:17 that he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but rather that the world through him would be saved. That is the God that we serve. He's a loving God. And John 14:6 tells us that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Today we talked about surrender and submission. And you know, in the world, submission is a word that is looked upon negatively. But I got to tell you, that God does his greatest work in us when we are ready to submit and to surrender to him. He will change your life. He will change your circumstance. And the Bible also tells us this, that in 1 Peter 3:9, that God is a patient God. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. Because if there's two eternities we face. We face a heaven and we face a hell. God wants you to spend an eternity with him. I want you to spend an eternity with him. I want all of us to spend an eternity with him. So the Bible also tells us this, that in Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, then so you are saved. So I'm going to say a dedication prayer, and if you want to accept Christ and welcome him into your heart, then I'm going to ask that you boldly confess with your mouth and boldly repeat after me. And it goes like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you would pay the penalty for my sin by dying on the cross in my place. I believe you rose to life again and now offer me a new life with you. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from the inside out. I invite you into every area of my life as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live for you all the days of my life. Thank you for forgiving me, and thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. And as I finish, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. So if you've done that today, whether you're online or here today, please let one of us know. And we'd be happy to pray with you and to help you and to provide you with the Bible so that you can continue on in your walk with God. And I just thank you, everybody. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.